Hello all and Happy New Year.
New Year.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Thanks for joining today. I know it's for some very busy time of the year for many of us. I hope everyone's workflow is going all right. I'll just wait one more minute, see if anyone else is joining for today. And we'll put our agenda in the chat. Okay, I think we can go ahead and get started if everyone's okay with that. Updates for today. I quickly wanted to bring your attention to an agenda item we have for our next meeting called EDS and Patron Empowerment. So this agenda was actually not placed on here by me. I think it was Tara Barnett who placed it on here, but I had been in conversations with her about specifically index data hosted EDS customers and kind of the space between what EBSCO hosted Folio customers can do and what Folio customers who are not hosted by EBSCO can do, because it is growing larger, what those people who don't have an EBSCO hosted Folio can do versus those who do. So she wanted to bring this discussion here and hope that I could post it on Discovery as well to invite maybe people who don't normally come to these meetings but who are interested in this particular topic. On here, she put it rather vaguely, so I don't. I figured I would put the topic in the chat. Say we're looking at this particular problem, but if people had other EDS patron empowerment things they wanted to talk about, more than open to have this conversation. Because I know it's specific to one discovery platform. It's not a discovery platform that everybody has. But when we did start this group, we did discuss that we wanted to include all sorts of questions about discovery, not just Folio API related. So that's what's going to go on next meeting, or part of what. We don't have to take the whole meeting for that. And it made me think, are there other topics that people here want to have maybe in a future meeting where we can like give people a lot of heads up? This is when we're going to be discussing this, and just points of interest that go a little bit beyond Jira tickets into usability issues we are seeing and possible solutions for solving them, or really interesting solutions you have come up with for usability of the Folio environment. I know it's a lot to throw at you, first thing at a meeting, but does anyone have off the top of their head any topics that they've been thinking of? Or that their organizations they know have been wanting to address?
I mean, on Lehi's side, our discovery issues with what we're looking at is more sort of feature parity of how not EDS patron empowerment, but how the EDS API is providing feature parity with the EDS UI in terms of article search and some other things. You know, there's been a lot of new functionality rolled out over the last year, but he honestly, even like a few months, related to enrich linked data enrichments and AI based, semantic searching and whatnot, and getting visibility on how those things are being or not being developed for the EDS API as well. But that's not really a question of EDS as a discovery layer. It's a question of other things that is as a discovery layer and using, the EDS API to power it. So I don't know. I'm trying to answer your question, but I'm not sure how well it fits into what you were actually looking for or
No, I
what
mean,
we're.
I think it's my big question or my follow-up for that would be like, does it even fit into our next conversation? Because yes, the conversation started as like specific to people using the UI, but the underlying issue is parity, right? Like certain customers getting some features and other customers not getting some features, and we're all using the same system, essentially, the same underlying infrastructure. Or are we not? Like, where are the spaces where we're not? Like, and maybe that's where the conversation needs to go. Would you want me to kind of add that to next week's agenda? Or do you want to keep that separate? Because we can do that
Well,
as
no, I
well.
mean, I don't object to it. I just feel like it's a, as you say, they're related in that way, but it's also a separate topic in the sense that it's not, it's, well, I don't know. It's not really about Foley, for one thing, right? It's so, it's more just understanding how EBSCO's strategy for supporting discovery, so I it's up to you if you feel that's in scope or not. I will say, I brought up that question, well, in two ways, I guess I brought it up at the ViewFind Summit, one in or and in Slack. I brought it up directly a couple of weeks before in Slack, and Klaus Wolf was going to try to get us an answer to it. And then the larger question, sort of the meta question of how do we as EBSCO customers collectively advocate for changes, either in discovery, either in their discovery layers or in their platforms. We can all enter support tickets, but that's not collective advocacy. That's individual advocacy. What are the platforms for us in the EBSCO sphere to be creating tickets or the equivalent of tickets that we can all see and we can comment on and can be prioritized, whether it's, a voting thing or just a commenting thing or whatever. And at the time, Klaus said that was something that they were talking about and discussing, and they didn't have anything to share yet. And so it's something that I promised to follow up on periodically to see like, hey, any action on that? But there's been no news yet. So again, these are in a Venn diagram related to what you're talking about because they're how EBSCO supports discovery, but it's not Folio per se. So I don't know. Up your call.
There are two issues here. The one is actually, Nicole, you mentioned there are features that EBSCO-hosted customers get that others don't get. This is due to, I'm wondering if this is just an EDS thing. So is EBSCO using the same APIs, or do they have an extension to do that? Because if they just use the Folio API, this is something that should be possible for non-hosted EDS customers. Sorry, Folio customers. So I'm not sure why there are some features that EBSCO-hosted Folio customers get that others don't get. When we discussed this some time ago, I was told that this shouldn't make a difference, actually, but obviously it does. So something seems to have changed. And the other issue regarding the new functionality in EDS or EBSCO host and the API, I'm not sure if I should say that, but I was contacted by EBSCO and ask if I could give feedback to some new API features in the near future. So maybe we shouldn't put that in the protocol. So I haven't seen what they intend to do, but obviously this is about the natural language search and other features that are new in the
It's great to hear that they're moving on those things. So that's fantastic. I'm just hoping there's a community channel for that stuff. I mean, I kind of wonder who their audience is with the API. Like what discovery layers are the primary audiences of their API, and how much does our community represent a big chunk of that, right? That would be good to talk to.
We were one of the first really large customers that used the full database set in EDS more than 10 years ago. So we did a lot of development together with EBSCO. On the performance and other things in the API. So this is maybe why they contacted us. Regarding the channel where you can do this is actually I think it's the EDS Partners group mailing list where information about, for example, enhancement requests are shared, where you as a customer could attach yourself to an existing enhancement request somebody else had posted. But if I remember correctly, there were some discussions at EBSCO to actually improve the EBSCO Connect so that you can actually see the existing enhancement requests. And this is still missing. So you can have a conversation with other EBSCO customers on the EDS partners group, but you cannot see the actual enhancement requests that already exist.
Could you share a link to that partners group that you're referring to? At least that might be a start. I'd be interested in exploring.
Sure. This actually should be on the EBSCO Connect side. I will look it up.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you for bringing up that list because it's been great that they've been offering that. That didn't exist for a while, and then or rather separate lists existed and none of them were really used. And so this community has been actually pretty well used since they started it or restarted it up in the past 2 years or so. I know I
Yeah, I
use it a
think I
lot.
missed that too. I don't go to the EBSCO user conference, so maybe that's where I would have found out, but I didn't know about that list.
Yeah, and I'll actually maybe add it to the agenda just to make sure, is because it's like called the EDS partners list, and I think you have to go through customer support is how I got added to the list. But I did add yours to next week's discussion just to, even if we don't end up discussing it, just to be a note of like we are discussing, and I see some interest in the chat as well. Thank you for your comments. Like we are kind of wondering about communication with this particular discovery partner. And it seems like there's a lot of ideas they have and things that are going to be coming soonish to the forefront, but we don't have, besides the user group, right, which is an in-person conference, we don't have something like this. We don't have an in-person meeting to talk about our needs and figure out what we need to collectively advocate for. That listserv is been the closest thing that I've seen where we can kind of post tickets we've created, and then you can take somebody else's enhancement request and request that support add you to that enhancement request. So baby steps, but thank you for adding that, MacBee. I will add it to the next agenda item and put it out on the call for next week's agenda. And maybe get some more interested people who are like, actually, I do want to talk about the API and I have thoughts. Perfect. And then if people in this group, I'll also at some point probably post the discovery chat, like think of other topics like this, where, some of it is very folio intertwined, maybe some of it's adjacent, but not so much. That's fine. It's more about from the user's perspective or from our discovery perspective, what things are we wanting to work on and also collectively advocate for. Yeah, we're pretty open. We're not going to be too restrictive there. So let me know and I can start scheduling that on future meetings. Are there any other updates that people on this call have?
I guess just to hire, I used to be a long time ago part of this group, and then we got quite busy with our implementation. But I'm rejoining as we are slowing down, although we do have a big release with Folio and then Locate and around the corner right now, actually in progress. But any case, I am starting to look out as I'm primarily supporting Locate because that's how our clients do circulation and primarily access our resources with this very issue, right? Searching for other partners, looking at our top 10 sort of development lists and comparing, because it can be, as we all know, very useful to see what other people have shared needs, what you're paying for, what I'm paying for, and what we know from EBSCO in terms of how they're responding. So, like, we have a number of interesting things around the corner, but as we are slowing down with the development, I think it's sort of a key time, at least for LOC, to start like working with partners and coming back into this area really. So, and I did look at that user conference and I was like, yeah, there isn't enough like in this zone really to justify, I think, that trip. So I just like decided to not go as of this week. But yeah. So I am curious if anybody here, I'm assuming not, but if anybody here is a Locate customer in particular.
That's a great question. Is anyone a Locate customer else who's here right now?
We are using Locate. My name is Olga Kalachinska. I'm from Douglas College. I'm the first time in this group. Because it's like I would have come more, but it's 7 a.m. Where I am, so it's difficult. But yeah, we do use Locate, and it's a bit of a headache because right now, because of the changes in the Locate. I mean, I like the changes, but they don't match. I'm talking about our tech changes. They don't match what is in EDS, and now we have a problem. We kind of I'm trying to figure out what to do, kind of disable, for example, loan type and library. Should we disable it in Locate because it doesn't show up in EDS, or will it show up in EDS soon? So I asked those questions, submitted a ticket just last week, so I didn't hear back yet.
Interesting. Yeah, there are a lot of differences, and I think we've disabled pretty much everything through EDS, so we don't have to worry about that as much.
Yeah, now I have so many questions about how, like the Locate EDS integrate, but I will back away. But that is really good to know. So two people right now, Library of Congress and Douglas, using Locate along with EDS and having to make decisions about how Locate operates versus EDS. And also, like, I know that EBSCO tends to try stuff out in Locate first and then push it to EDS. And that push is part of what keeps people like my university, who doesn't have Folio hosted by EBSCO, from getting some of those features. It all connects in the back end.
Yeah, probably does.
Okay, I can add like that to the list, and maybe just next week. Another call would be if you have documentation. If so, I'm gonna link up. I have a slide list of like all the features we cannot get right now that we want. That's an EDS. If you have documentation about maybe tickets you've put forth, or a list of kind of your current big things you're looking for, please feel free to either send those directly to me or even link it to the discussion for next week, and can just kind of be a big old get together of kind of what are we seeing, and then what do we want to start advocating for, even if it's just that one enhancement request that Melissa put through about can we have a shared enhancement request board where we can see other people's enhancement requests and have a discussion.
Sure, yeah. Sorry, I was just unmuted. We have pretty public like features we're waiting for and stuff like that that we already post online, so I can share like a bulleted version. I will be out again the next few weeks, but I just wanted to let you all to know. But I my thoughts are things are at a place where I can now resume being a more regular part of this group. And I think, Nicole, it was years ago, a couple of years ago, the last time I really was around regularly. But just so you know, I won't disappear again for 2 years. We're
You
mostly
know,
done with
like,
the hard part of our implementation. So,
I think we all understand that, like, sometimes you just got to step back and deal with the thing that's in front of you. But we're happy to have you join again. And yes, as you can come, please do share your experiences. And then we got a link for EDS partners here. So, thank you, Bern, for posting that. I will put that here. Do this. And ask if there's any other updates for today.
sorry, I didn't mean such a giant post, but that was just what I had shared with Klaus back in October. If you want to add that to the list of our requests to have a community bug triage feature request forum.
Perfect. Copy. All right, that has been added. Thank you so much for bringing my attention to that. Okay, I think I got all that. All right. And I added that Maccabee to the next agenda item, so you'll see it on top. Okay, so oh, go ahead.
Does EBSCO's, I know that at some point Tammy Wolf used to come to this. Does she still sometimes come, or is this, I know she was on leave or something, so.
Yeah, I don't know the last meeting Tammy came to, but she's still been involved with these meetings. I think it's been similar to your circumstance. If things get pretty heavy with locate, and I think especially last year towards the end of the year, there was a lot of development work going on. Like she might kind
Disappear
of
for
like,
a
yeah,
bit.
exactly, because of the workload. But yeah, EBSCO like still tries to send
Okay, just
someone.
that's good to hear. Cool. Thank you.
Which we love, because then they can come and be like, well, we're developing this, and what do you think? And those are nice conversations to have. Okay, so we only have a few JIRA tickets this morning to talk about. I don't remember, it could have been me, I could have not, putting the optimizing request error handling in the ECS environments ticket on here. So I was just wanting to see if somebody here does remember putting that on the agenda. I'm not saying it wasn't me. This was last year. Could have been, but I just don't have any recollection of it.
Yeah, you could see that in the history of the
I was too lazy to check the history of the page. Do you see, Barton, like who created this? Was it?
Yeah. Probably you made most changes to the page. Yeah, it's sometimes difficult to see who has made what change. I didn't put it on the page, so yeah, you have put that in the agenda when you created it.
I see some of these tickets relate to some of our requirements for our next release. If you look b by the defined by and the LOC, I'm familiar with that error, the robotic error notices that our patrons are getting from the link in the chat. So that is, you know, if that's true and it's defined by that LC ticket. And it doesn't have one of our discovery labels, so I think this is maybe a question about, is this something that we follow, and what is kind of our relationship with this ticket?
If I remember correctly, we looked at that ticket in the context of in general getting better error messages. And this was the only ticket, if I remember correctly, we could find that is related to this topic.
Okay, now this is, I think that's what happened is the question for the last meeting we had was, there's got to be something else out there, right, for error messages. And so we found this one, but this was really, really it when it comes to error messages. And this relates to kind of our other two big communities dashboards tickets about exposing circulation rules for requests and renewals. Specifically to ensure that patrons know exactly what they can do when they're looking at an item, what permissions they have, and even perhaps why they have those permissions, you know, ideally. So, okay, thank you for helping me go down memory lane about this. Ticket. Yeah, so the, oh, go
Regarding
ahead.
the community dashboard, I think I've asked this in the last meeting. What's the current status of this dashboard? What's happening here? Do you
Yeah,
have anything to follow up?
I have not heard anything from that group's been pretty quiet. But I don't think I reached out either. So I will make a note for that for this next coming meeting to reach out to the community about the community dashboard and where they're at with that project.
Yeah, I
Because
noticed there was also something in the last meeting notes about the changes to what's it called? The service points. That you only get this some service points that really would work for you. And it mentioned that Viewfinder blocks requests when there is no service port. So the question was, what is covered by that? I'm not sure if we have an answer to that yet, because that might actually cover some of the, at least for the request part, might cover that ticket.
So that was that the one related to the sunflower release and how that changed some behavior, or was that a different conversation?
No, that was a something that probably Damien mentioned, that they do this based on whether they get service points or not for a renewal. And if they don't have a service point, they will block the renewal for an item. So this could actually be some indirect way to actually address this regarding the requests. The renewal is still a different issue because you already have the item, so this will not work for the renewals. Okay, but if nobody has looked into that, on Damien isn't here today, so we probably should delay that discussion.
Yeah, because you're talking about how 5513 relates specifically to 2422, right? And
No, not really, not really. The error message is still a different thing. So this
okay.
is purely about 2422, the exposed circulation rules regarding requests.
Gotcha.
One of the issues is that you don't know if you can actually request something until you have tried. And some way around this could be that if you don't get any service points, you block simply block the request, because you need a service point actually to request something. But that's just seems like workaround to me. It doesn't fully address this, and it won't tell you why you aren't able to request something, which is probably what you want to know.
Right. So you're referring to Damien's answer to the ticket 2422,
Yes.
which Damien did talk about how having that endpoint that says, is this renewable or not? And you're saying, like, even if we have that endpoint, which we do not at the moment, depending on your.
No. I'm referring to Damien's comment that there is an API that will tell you there's a service point for an item and a pattern. So that if you don't get a service point, you can obviously cannot request it, because you can, well, maybe they will send it to you, but if there's no service point, and that maybe that API would cover part of what we want, what has been requested in the ticket. And but I'm not sure how much of that would be covered. And of course, if you just have the information there's no service point, you still don't know why you cannot request something. And so this is just seems like a workaround to me, but might provide some part of that functionality that we would like to see.
I think you just made the point, Bernd, that even if there's no service point, you could still get delivery on an item. So it wouldn't be 100%,
Yeah,
the
maybe. I don't think we would deliver something. Usually our users have to pick things up. So in our case, that would be sufficient probably.
sure.
But it still wouldn't give the user a reason why they cannot request something. So, and this, of course, would be very helpful for the user.
I think from my understanding is that Damien started talking about service points, but service points is just one of the like many factors that could cause an item to not be requestable, right? Like loan types could be one. Your patron status could have some things tied to that. The status of the item, right? Like there's multiple things that go into circ rules, and they are very complex. And I
Yes,
think
but if you have an API that will tell you if you have a specific item and a pattern, and you ask it for the service points where the pattern could pick this up, and there is no service point where it could be picked up, then something obviously isn't possible for that user. So, but you don't know what actually goes into that decision.
You mean like some sort of transparent messaging once they're logged in, then they request and there's a drop down for
Yes.
a pickup location of why it fails instead of it somewhat
Yeah,
of
you
hey,
could show it
of
as
lack of like
blocked.
you
It's
can't,
not possible for you, but you
but a
won't
reason
get.
why like this
Yeah.
is not requestable versus you
Yes.
don't have the appropriate permissions, which is a very distinct thing.
Yes.
Definitely, this is an area that is opaque for our patrons and sometimes maybe on purpose a little bit in some ways, but it's just so complicated to put it in a tiny window, that window, the request window, right? No, this is interesting. I just wanted to make sure I understood when I'm thinking about the flows. Thank you.
Well, maybe it just if it's not requestable, then there is no button, and that's it.
I think he was saying that he would prefer if the messaging could just point to what area is the restriction. Is it the material itself? Is it your patron sort of group that, and is that why you don't have the appropriate permissions in your patron group? Is it the, I don't know. As we said,
Yeah,
there are a bunch of different
maybe you
things that
have
they will
to,
never know.
yeah. Maybe you have to pay some of your fees to actually get access to that item.
Good
So
point.
that could be an issue, and then you could pay, and if you knew that this would be helpful.
I in the midst of our major go live push, I checked out a book around data mapping and data workflows and stuff to help, and I never returned it, and I never realized that that's why my account would not let me request. Because it didn't give me any, it just was like, wouldn't work. I'm like, what is wrong with my account? It's because I had a outstanding loan.
Yeah, that's true.
If so, I agree with the you should tell the patron in advance that they can't do the thing with a disabled, widget, right? Before they get an error message. If we want to get to the point of why they can't do it and have those messages coming back, a couple of things to keep in mind. First of all, there could be multiple things blocking, right? Like all those different factors. It could be this, there's several of them blocking you. How do you present that in a UI that's reasonable? Right. Like you can't because colon bullet point five different reasons you can't borrow this right now or you can't request this. Right. But if you and if you don't do that, if you just present the first one, then it's like, okay, I couldn't because I had a fine. So I paid that fine. So now I can. And then you go and you're blocked because of a different reason. And you're like, but right. But then on the other hand, on the back end, it may not go through all the different reasons you can't submit a request. It's likely just going to fail at the first one. So then it might not even have the ability to give you that full list, which would mean that it was right. The back end would have to be changed, not just to do the notification, but to do the, I don't want to use the word pointless, but like examine all the possible additional reasons why something won't work, right? Which could be a little bit annoying on the back ends. So my point is just there's a lot of scope. If we're really talking about reasons as opposed to a message. Oh, and also leaving aside the internationalization and localization of all those different reasons that you might not be able to check something out depending on your discovery layer. So this might be the case of just giving them a message saying, sorry, you can't do that. Please call our help desk right now to ask us why you can't borrow that, as opposed to trying to answer it.
Yeah, I think part of what you just described is actually covered by this UX prod 5513 and the other one that's related to the mediated requests. I haven't found any more general ticket on this. So this was the closest one that we could watch actually to see if there's something going on. And it's already in refinement, so that's a good sign. Probably that something might happen here. I haven't checked the last update, but I think that was recently. Yes, there has been recent activity on that ticket. There is a number of other tickets that actually are prerequisites for that. So this might be quite complex as you described.
Yeah, this is almost making me think, instead of once again to address like what is the community dashboard doing right now, this could be a mechanism to start that conversation by kind of replacing the ticket we already have, which is that big overall like request. How do people know with this very specific ticket, which is currently in work? Would that be like we could advocate for the more specific ticket, I guess is what I'm saying. Through the community dashboards channel and hopefully get more movement. Or if there's already enough movement going, we could just follow it and trust the process that's already in place.
Yeah, I actually would delay that decision until we know what the actual status of the community dashboard is, because I haven't seen much activity regarding this dashboard in the past months. So I'm wondering if this actually is moving forward, so that putting more work into the dashboard actually will get us somewhere. So, yeah, maybe we should delay that discussion.
Okay, I will do bring that back again to another meeting. But I think we could all agree we should be following this one, correct? Assign do our general tag as well as request tag to this. Under the to-do. And just so you know, I've kind of been, I placed it in our board of like list of things to send to Damien essentially for tagging. And then I can bring this. Discussion.
You still don't have permission to tag anything yourself.
Nope, I have no permissions to tag anything myself. If anyone else does, feel free to not make Damien do it, but that's. I guess I could bother Peter and be like, please.
Yeah, just want to mention that.
Yeah, I'll put it on my list. Bother Peter. I bother Peter so much. There's so many other things. Okay. If it's in the over request. All right. Yeah. So I'll bring that to the future meeting. And others, think about, does this ticket kind of cover some of your main request concerns? Are there other request concerns that this ticket doesn't cover that you're looking to get resolved? Specifically, just like times when your user is trying to be like request a thing and they're not getting the message you want them to see. Bring that to the next discussion as well, or like post it in the agenda, because that could help clarify what solution needs to be worked towards. Okay. And since we're on the topic, does anyone have any kind of comments on the renewal options as well?
Other than it's not working properly, I don't know. I'm guessing you all know then that the request buttons show up for everything. Doesn't matter if it's requestable or not. Renewal, sorry. Renewal buttons show up for everything. Doesn't matter if it's renewable or not. And I could be wrong, but I don't think it was happening like that before the new UI, EDS UI. I could be wrong, but it shouldn't show up a renew button if you cannot renew this item.
Yeah, I think Viewfinder always had that issue that the button showed up. So I don't think there's an API where you can actually query if something can be renewed. And Damien has made a suggestion how this could be implemented in the ticket some time ago, that the when you get the list of items that there should be a renewable flag on the item, there has been no response so far. I'm not sure if that's a similar issue as with the request that it's difficult to determine unless you go through all the logic that would be required for renewing. So I have no idea what the issue actually is. But Viewfinder always had that issue, and I would be surprised to see if this would have been different for EDS.
And with request buttons, we at least have a way to deal with it. They suppress request buttons for us for not requestable materials. So, for example, equipment is not requestable, so there is no request buttons for anyone. But they don't do it for renewals. So now everything is equipment is not renewable, but there is a renew button. So patron has to click on it and then they fail. So at least that temporary solution with request could have helped. Like it cannot go by patron type. For example, this patron can renew it, but this patron cannot. That wouldn't work, but there are some materials that are not renewable for anyone. So at least that solution for requests could work for renewals. I don't know if I make sense.
Yeah,
It does, and it's dividing it into two things for me. There's this, the first issue where the renew button is showing where it should not. And then the second one is even after you try to renew something that can't be renewed, the error message is not very helpful. I mean, at least it tells you you couldn't renew the item. Like, hey, I mean, sometimes systems don't even do that. So it does tell you you cannot renew the item, but it doesn't provide any further information. And we actually have a use case where we have interlibrary loan items that you can see in ViewFind because we put them into Folio, but you can't renew them there. You have to go to Ilya to renew. And like trying to tell a patron that through the system that when they try to renew this, they did renew it, but it didn't really renew. They have to go to Ilya to renew it. I haven't figured out a solution to make that easier for people.
We do it in the notice. When they get a notice that item is due soon, it says, if you want to renew it, please email this person. That's what we do.
Thanks for reminding me. We do that. We do the email as well. Yeah, I was trying to be like, there's got to be a better way beyond. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So these are some great use cases. Thank you for including these.
And I think it's pretty big, the renewal part, because it does show up for all items you check out. And it's, for us, it wasn't even showing up. Like, they fixed it last week. There were no renew buttons to begin with. Now it's showing up for everything. And because it's new, it kind of feels so wrong to show it up. We allow renewals only for two types of materials, DVDs and zines. That's it. Everything else is not renewable. But seeing renew buttons for everything feels so wrong.
And is do you allow that by material type?
Well, the loan rules, that's in loan rules that all other ones are not renewable.
Right, but do your loan rules rely on material type or some other
We do it
field?
by loan type.
Okay. We use material type, so that's why I'm always asking for clarifications. And we're thinking of combining the two, which is why this is becoming very interesting because it all folds in.
Yeah, this is actually something that I imagine could be done in an API. It gets much more difficult if you cannot renew that for an item for other reasons. Because these are essentially static rules. You have the material types, you have the loan types, and then you can evaluate if the item is covered by that or not. If it gets to, you have too many renewals, you have fees, whatever, it gets much more complicated.
Yeah, I think this is another one that could almost be split up into like the first one. Can we even get the correct renewal mechanism to show or not show? And then the error message would be
Yeah, maybe not even for all reasons, but for some specific reasons that would
right.
allow you to at least cover some of the major cases where something cannot be renewed.
Correct. Yeah. Like the obvious, like loan type,
Yeah,
material
and the
type,
other
loan
maybe
roll.
could be handled by the error message you get when you try to renew. So this is something maybe we could split it up. But I'm not sure about the logic in the back end that evaluates the circulation rules. So somebody who is familiar with that would have to look into this if that makes sense to actually split it up.
Okay, so this one I'll kind of we'll keep paired with the other one, the request and renewals, because it just makes sense to talk about them together. And maybe bring up either next meeting or the meeting after to see if there's been any movement on the ticket. And if there hasn't, like, does it make sense to split it up? to address these two different types. And then also in the meantime, we just collect more use cases. Because I can swear right now as we're speaking, I'm like, there is a use case where I think we use viewfind. The renew button does not show for specific cases. And I don't know why. So it's surprising to me to hear that like viewfind doesn't have a mechanism for this. But I maybe I'm misremembering, so I need to go back through my notes and see if I can find that use case.
Yeah, maybe you can do that for material types, but not for loan types.
Maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, there is dynamic behavior, Ajax, JavaScript behavior to tweak that renew link. Wait, no, I'm thinking of the request link, not the renew link. Never mind, I don't know.
I don't mean to like maybe it doesn't exist. So don't think too hard about this, but I will go back through my notes and see if I can find that use case and bring it to this meeting when we revisit. Okay, excellent. And then I did have two other JIRA tickets to review. I put them on the list here. And this comes from the search of things that have been recently worked on or updated. So one of them is the default setting for request expiration period, which is UX prod 3539.
Yeah, and I've read your comment, and I'm actually wondering how you're doing this on the Viewfind side. Do you actually cancel a request in Folio if the request expiration has been reached? Or how do you do that? Because you still have that request in Folio. You have to get rid of that. You cannot simply do that on the Viewfind side.
That's a great question. I don't know. I know we have it set up so requests go for a year. I don't know what happens after that year goes by if they have to make but I can follow up with my
Yeah,
our
you could of course have some cron job or something like that runs daily and expires old requests. That would be possible, but that would not be on the Viewfind side. That would be.
It sounds like maybe the request, the expiration date is always sent in the request, and from Viewfind, there's just a default that's always used to send in with the request. But maybe this ticket is saying you shouldn't have to send an expiration date in the request in the first place. It's just a default on the Folio side, which,
Yeah, that
sure.
would make sense because if I remember correctly, the staff has to set that date manually when they create a request in the system. And so it would be possible to send an expiration date from the Folio side.
Yes, you do have to do it manually in Folio, and that's another annoying thing about.
Yeah, but if you send a default from the discovery layer when you create a request, this could be set automatically by the discovery layer. Actually, I hadn't thought about that. So this could work on with the setting on the Viewfind side.
Unfortunately, there is no such setting in EDS. So for us, they just, yeah, we cannot even do that through discovery layer. It has to happen in Folio for us.
So the patron, when they're placing a request, there's no option to set an expiration date and there's no
No.
default. Okay.
No. I'm pretty sure there is a ticket about it in Jira. Asking to deal with that, to have the ability to set up a default expiration date in Folio.
Right. Is that this ticket or is that the 1628?
That I don't remember.
Okay.
I could see this not being exposed in the UI of, let's say, EDS or another discovery layer, because it's not a patron-friendly feature, even though we would like to think that it would be. We would like to think the patrons would say, oh, yes, I won't need that after this date. But in reality, I have a hard time believing a patron would actually use it, even if in truth they wouldn't need it after that particular date. So it could be the sort of thing that someone did some UX testing on and no one ever used it. And so they simplified the UI to get rid of it. But it should still be a back, like a staff configurable thing somewhere in the discovery layer to set a default.
Right, and then the discovery layer could change that default, because what you don't want is like the system's having two truths. Okay, do we follow this one? Like, I'm not. It was updated recently. That's why it came on my radar, but I don't really. And it does have a development team. But it is kind of like tangentially discovery related, right? It's more about what can you set as a default on the Folio side for a request.
Well, if Viewfind can do it and EDS cannot do it, somehow it's something like a discovery thing. So we may want to follow that ticket.
Okay. Yeah, and no, we asked patrons when was the last day something would be of use to them, but most replied as soon as possible, somewhat unhelpfully. Yeah, we had a lot of discussion about that because we make books that we have recently purchased requestable, but we don't know when we're going to get that book, right? So like that year gives us that time for that book to come in, be processed, and then go out to the patron. And yeah, some patrons, it's like they want it now, but most of our patrons, if they want it now, they'll use ILL. This is more of a like, oh, you have it. I'd like to read it sometime. Then we get into the conversation of how you tell the patron, well, it might be 6 months. That's another conversation. But that would be our use case for why we decided on a default year for user requests for items.
In the past, when we still used Sierra, we had it set to 3 or 4 months, if I remember correctly. And the thinking was by the end of the semester, students don't need it. And if they didn't get it by the end of the semester, they don't want it anymore. And of course, it's not ideal because they could have requested it in at the end of the semester, but still, like 3 or 4 months covers the next semester then. So, and of course, faculty is different, but faculty do know how to find us and how to do things. So that was our thinking for putting, I think it was 4 months.
Okay, so I'm going to just go ahead and kind of copy paste the tags from the other ticket we discussed, so topics and it's a request, and just so we could follow it because it does seem like it could have some tangent related impacts, especially if someone recently updated it, like what work is being done here and what is going to be decided. And I do want to be mindful of the time. It's almost 9 o'clock, and I do have another meeting to run too. So there is one other ticket in there if you want to look at it and make some comments about what you think should be done with that ticket. And I can bring it to the next or future meeting. But yeah, thank you so much for being here today, for all your commentary. And as you think of, if you have things to add to the agenda, please go ahead and add them. And if you think of future topics that you think a big group could get together and talk about that's discovery related, please, please let me know, and we can work on scheduling that for a future meeting. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Bye.